Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
All right, I'm going to read to you from Galatians 5 as we're just going to give you a little bit of a message today. We've been doing a sermon series on Resurrection Revolution with the idea that the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what God did in the resurrection, if we want to live into that, it's really revolutionary, and there's amazing things that happen from that, and Caravan Sunday goes along with that so well as we're in Easter season, as we see just not only the ministry that we do with the kids, but also the ministry that the kids are doing. I just think about the two wells that money was collected for, and there are places in the world that they literally don't have clean water, which means you get sick, and you, if the flu comes through, you die. And two villages now are going to have wells that have clean water, something we take for granted, and it's literally the gift of life, and it's so awesome. And so thank you all for participating in that. But anyway, Galatians 5, I'm going to read verses 16 to 26. Live by the Spirit, I say. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh, for what this flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh, for those are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have crucified its flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty and everlasting God, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So I think sometimes people think that church or that Christianity is about, I don't know, you go to church to be a good person, or that you have to be a good person in order to go to church. Like, they don't let sinners through the door or something like that, or that you have to clean up your act before you're allowed in here, or that once you get in here, then all we focus on is just like a behavior modification program. And so you have to follow rules, right? Like, don't drink or smoke or chew or date girls who do, right? You just follow those things, and then... And sometimes I think even if you look at Galatians 5, which has the living by the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit, it seems like there's those two lists of rules, two lists of things that happen on. There's definitely a don't do list and a way to live list. And there's that definite contrast there. There's works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Those who live by the works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God, which is a bad thing. Those who live by the Spirit will be guided by the Spirit, will inherit the kingdom of God, which is a good thing. So I think even as we understand that, we can make the mistake of thinking it's just behavior modification. So live the right way, love and have joy and all that stuff. But the problem comes when you actually try to change things in yourself, you find out that it's a bit harder than you first thought. In fact, if you've tried to live a different way, you start to become bothered not just by the things that you do, but by who you are. We discover that we're broken people. C.S. Lewis, who was a brilliant author, wrote a lot on the Christian faith, made a really insightful observation in the book Mere Christianity. And he says that as he started to live life differently and to be more in line with what God wanted, He says, when we do that, we begin to be bothered not only by what we do, but by what we are. And he gives an example from his own life. He says that he would confess his sins each night. And as he confessed his sins each night, the ones that would pop up more often than not were sins against charity, he said. So the way you treat other people, how you are with other people, and things involving, I don't know, like he would sulk or he would snap or he would do something towards somebody else that he shouldn't have done. And he said as he did that, the excuse that would immediately pop into his head was that, well, but in this situation, I was caught off guard. You know, there was something that was caught off guard, which I can relate to, can't you? Like, if you're, I don't know, have you ever been tired or weary, like not at your best and caught off guard, and then you reacted to someone in a way you shouldn't have? Your silence is not, I'm feeling alone. Like, yeah, I haven't felt that way either, but I guess other people do. I don't know. Have you ever been caught off guard? Like, you're at the end of a long day, and then someone said something, then you snap at them, right? Thank you. It's appropriate to confess in church, so let's throw that out there. If you just push to the edge or you get caught off guard or just something can catch you and then you're not at your best. But Lewis writes about this, and this is where it really hits home. He says that it's actually very disturbing when we're caught off guard that this is the way we behave. And he writes, surely what a man does when he's taken off guard is the best evidence for what sort of man he is. Surely what pops out before the man has time to put on a disguise is the truth. If there's rats in the cellar, you're most likely to see them if you go in very suddenly. But suddenness does not create the rats. It only prevents them from hiding. In the same way, the suddenness of the provocation does not make me an ill-tempered man. It only shows me what an ill-tempered man I am. The rats are always in the cellar. But if you go in shouting noisily, they'll have taken cover before you switch on the light. It's a brilliant analogy, isn't it? That those things that catch us off guard sometimes reveal the real brokenness that's in us. And it turns out then that we're broken people. So then the advice, and I don't know, you hear it often, it turns out the advice to follow your heart is actually probably horrible advice. Because if we are really broken people, if we're sinners, if there's something broken in us, then following our heart's not really the way we ought to go. Our hearts can be deceitful. And Paul writes that when you live according to the desires of the flesh, when you follow those desires, it leads to a bad place. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. It leads to these bad behaviors that end up hurting other people. And once we start to understand this sort of thing, we start to become bothered maybe by the sort of person that we are. So we get this fruit metaphor, and I think the fruit metaphor can capture our imagination here. Let's see, got a fruit tree, all right. So it also not only captures our imagination, but this fruit metaphor can help us understand maybe what Christianity is all about. I'm going to, here's a lemon. The fruit of the Spirit's not a lemon, I just learned, but here's a lemon, a lemon's a fruit. Where do lemons come from? Trees, but not just any trees. Oak trees. Oh, no, right. Lemon trees, right? Lemon trees. They grow on lemon trees. Lemon trees produce lemons. Now, I wonder, I've been kind of curious. I like things that are... I took a lemon earlier. Let me find my Pastor Andy cutting board. All right, and yay. You too can have a Pastor Andy cutting board for $19.99 at the end of the service. It slices, it dices. All right. So here's a lemon. I thought, you know, I like things that are sweet and spicy. And I thought, well, let me try this lemon. I wonder if that works that way. This is another lemon. And this is, they peel just like oranges. I'm going to try a slice here. Look. There we go. So sweet and spicy. How do you think this will work? Sweet and spicy. Let's see how this goes. It takes me a second to be able to talk. Oh my goodness. I did that in the first service and I still wasn't prepared. And the lemon is still not sweet at all. Wow. It just makes your whole face just contract. It's Yeah, that's horrible. All right. So I like sweet and spicy, and that didn't work. Well, you know what? If I want to make this lemon tree produce something sweet and spicy, how can I make it do that? I'm thinking, maybe I just need to go up to the lemon tree and just yell at it, right? Produce something better, right? I want something sweet and maybe a little spicy, and just, how would that work? Would that work if I yelled at the lemon tree? Would the lemon tree do anything different? What is the lemon tree always going to produce? Lemons. What if the lemon tree tries harder? Probably, and it maybe even more lemons, right? It's always going to produce lemons. A lemon tree will always produce lemons when it's producing something. If we are sinners, if there's something broken in us, if we are sinners, what are we going to produce? Sin. What if we try harder? Sin. We might become a Pharisee, but we'll still sin. Yeah. If there's something broken, if you have the same plant, the same thing, it's going to produce the same fruit. We don't need to be yelled at. We need to be changed. Like I said, I like sweet and hot. This is called a manzano pepper. Ooh, I can hear the jealousy out there because it's very nice. Yeah, actually cut one of these open. These are wonderful. They have little black seeds in them, and they're spicy. Let me see if I can get a little part with placenta. Don't cut on a music stand, I guess. All right, let's see how this goes. Hmm. There's a little heat, yeah. Beautiful. Oh, these taste wonderful. And there comes the warmth, but it's not going to kill me, so I'll still be able to talk. I like hot stuff. Oh, it's wonderful. Did you know that peppers are actually fruit? According to taxonomy, they really are, because they come from the flower. The flowering part of the plant turns into the fruit. And actually, according to taxonomy, they're a berry, I believe. So just in case you were curious about how to classify peppers, you're welcome. But this manzano pepper, this is wonderful. It's got like the sweetness of a bell pepper and a little bit of heat to it that really kind of kicks you in the face. It's wonderful. I love it. So it's great. So it didn't work to yell at the lemon tree to produce something different, but a different plant produces something different, produces something that I was actually looking for. You see, the thing that needs to happen is there needs to be a change. If you live, if you have life in the Spirit, if you have life in the Spirit of God, then your life produces a different kind of fruit. Fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. You may have heard this before. Have you heard this before? Yeah, and self-control. Yeah. The fruit are the product of a different life that's in you. The fruit comes as a result of a different kind of life. But like the lemon tree and the pepper plant, we can't expect a lemon tree to produce a different kind of fruit. If we want to have a different kind of fruit in our lives, there needs to be a change that happens in us. There needs to be something that goes differently in us. So let's listen to the Apostle Paul. He writes in Galatians 2:20, "For I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." See, there's the death of an old way of being, and then a new life that we have in Christ. Or in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "So if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation." If who's in Christ? Anyone. You kind of half answered that. If who's in Christ?
Anyone.
Who does that include?
Everybody.
Does that include you?
Yes.
If anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. We can't yell at the lemon tree and expect something different. Something has to change. But here's the wonderful story. Here's the wonderful message of the gospel. This is what Christianity is about. That Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus Christ to live with us, to take on our sins and to die for us, to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven, but then to be raised to everlasting life so that we could have eternal life, so that we could be new creations today. And if you need to produce different fruit in your life, the answer isn't that you need to try harder or read more self-help books. The answer is this: you need to accept the forgiveness of God from Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit be made into a new person. And that new life produces different fruit. Produces fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? That's the gospel. The gospel is this: that God so loved the world that he sent his Son to die for us, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. And it's good news and a good message. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.